Hello and a warm welcome back to The Sweet Spot here on The Racing Post, your go-to golf tipping show. It's Jack Reeve and Joe Champion to guide you through proceedings this week. We've got another action-packed calendar in the golfing schedule. We're going to be taking a look at the tournaments coming up this week, as well as a look back at a brilliant week of golf last week where we saw three tournaments take place. Joe, welcome to the show. Bruce and Steve having a well-deserved break this week, but it does mean that you are appearing on the show, and I know you bring a fan club with you now. You've had an excellent 2021. And before we get into the nitty-gritty bolts of the show this week, tell people where they can find your tips when you're not on The Sweet Spot, because we get so many comments every week.
So I write a weekly column in the Racing and Football Outlook, which is out every Tuesday afternoon in all good news agents and some rubbish ones as well. So I'm also available online with Racing Post Members Club as well, the Racing and Football Outlook.
Excellent. And we'll get into the tournament shortly, but you did have a winner in that very column last week. Let's take a look back at last week's tournaments then, and let's start with the Northern Trust. It was an excellent tournament. It finished on the Monday due to a hurricane going through America. It was eventually won by Tony Finau. Yes, he's finally got his second PGA Tour win after 1,975 days. That's 143 starts. Joe, he did incredibly well. It looked like it was going to be John Rahm. We had Cameron Smith nearly throwing a 59 on the third round. It was an excellent week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great week. And I think unless you've backed John Rahm or Cameron Smith, then you couldn't help but be delighted for Tony Finau. You could just see the relief in his face walking down the 18th green in the playoff after Smith had hit his tee shot out of bounds. Like, it's been such a long wait for him. He's come close so many times. He was beaten in that playoff at Riviera at the sort of in February. And, you know, we know how good his game is. It's almost one of golf's great mysteries as to why Tony Finau hadn't won for over 5 years. And he's finally put those demons to rest. And hopefully that's the start of things to come for Finau, because we know how good he is. We know he's a potential major winner. He's played really well in the majors. I couldn't have backed him last week. I've completely gone off him. Fair play to anyone that did. But this could be the start of something big for him, hopefully.
Yeah, really nice chap. There was a lovely quote. He said, "I've been thinking about that walk up 18 for a very long while. It's been years and it's nice to finally have that and to put that second win behind me." Once again, Joe, let's quickly touch on John Rahm, because he's a short price favourite going into this week's tournament. Another fantastic week. It was just that, you know, slightly poor back nine on the Saturday that ruined his chances, really, wasn't it?
Well, he still went into the final round tied for the lead, and obviously it looked very much for most of the final round like he was going to win. And I think up until sort of the 16th hole, when he failed to get up and down on the drivable par four, I still thought up until that point that he was going to win. But it just went wrong at the wrong time for him. It can happen to any player. John Rahm's proved that he's the best player in the world at the moment. But yeah, anyone can slip up at any time. That's why we love the game so much. But he'll be back, and no surprise to see him as a strong favourite again this week.
Absolutely, yeah. Well done to Tony Finau. We had another brilliant tournament on the European Tour as well. It was the Czech Masters, won by Johannes Veerman. And Joe, you had Johannes Veerman tipped up in the RFO. What appealed about him?
Well, I was taking a bit of a chance with Johannes Veerman, but we had seen him, when we previously saw him, he was playing really well. He finished in the top 10 at the Irish Open and the Scottish Open, and then made the cut on his Open debut. Took a few weeks off. You know, the only problem really was that would he be rusty? Because the Czech Masters, a track for long drivers. He's a great ball striker, Johannes Veerman, so I thought that would suit. It was just a case of whether he was rusty or not. And he made didn't make that strong start, but he finished really well. And he's really got the bit between his teeth going forward from here on, Johannes Veerman. Really nice player.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice to see Henrik Stenson right up there as well. He had a brilliant chance to go on and win that tournament in the final round. Let's have a quick mention of Sam Horsfield as well. He's been tipped up a lot by yourself and Steve Palmer throughout this season. Of course, a two-time European Tour winner. He's been going into the last few events as a short price favourite or thereabouts, and just failing to get it done on the final day once again.
Yeah, and it's becoming a bit of a concern. We know he can win. He won twice last summer, but I am worried about Sam Horsfield. And when you come to take short prices about him in these sorts of events, he has got that big mistake in him. know, some players just look solid. They don't look like they're going to make these mistakes in contention. Horsfield makes the odd double bogey, treble bogey, and it completely rocks his progress. And I just don't, you know, if you're going to take him at short prices, you have to be wary that that's something that can happen.
Definitely, yeah. That seven on the Sunday killed him, didn't it? Now, we also had the Women's Open. It was a brilliant week of golf. It was basically round-the-clock coverage, wasn't it? It was won by Anna Nordqvist. That was her third major in her career. She had a Scottish caddy through the week. She's got a Scottish husband, so very well acquainted with that part of the world. And again, it was another very enjoyable event and a thoroughly enjoyable Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you mentioned the Scottish husband. She's not the only one with a Scottish spouse to have done well in Scotland. Victor Perez, of course, was married or is with a woman from Dundee. So exact same place as Anna Nordqvist. So there must be something about Dundee when it comes to these Scottish events. Yeah, Nordqvist, a great ball striker. She struggled a bit with the short game, but there was no issues when you can get the ball close to the pin on 18. I must confess, I didn't watch all of the final round because I was watching the football. But yeah, turned it on in time to see the conclusion of that. Obviously, she went up the 18th tied with Nana Madsen, who hit her second shot, pulled it into the bunker and drew a horrific lie on the downslope and hit the shank over the back of the green. And from there, it was all over. Interesting, as you mentioned that, though, these double bogeys, every single, well, there were four tournaments this week, if we include the Corn Ferry tournament, the Albertson Boise Open. And three of the four tournaments, we had the co-leader or the leader at the last making a double bogey. That was Nana Madsen, Tapio Polkinen in the Czech Masters, and Aaron Rye, who we should give a mention to as well in the Corn Ferry Tour event. He made a double bogey when he was leading at the last to eventually lose by one shot to Grayson Sigg. But he will be on the PGA Tour next year because he got a top five finish and that's all he needed for his PGA Tour card.
Do you know anyone else, Joe, other than Aaron Rye, who wears two gloves? He's a very strange one, that, isn't it?
Tommy Gainey's the famous one for wearing yes. two gloves. But yeah, not too many. And of course, he has iron covers on his irons as well, which does... he's a bit of a cult figure, Aaron Rye.
That's even more debatable than the double glove, isn't it? Yeah, well done to Aaron Rye for that PGA Tour card as well. Right, let's move on to this week's events. Two brilliant events, and let's start on the European Tour with the European Masters. Joe, talk us through what course we can look forward to this week.
Yeah, we're in for a real treat this week, Jack. We're back at Crans-sur-Sierre in Switzerland. The European Tour pros will be treated to these beautiful views of the mountains of the Swiss Alps this week. This is a historic course. They've played it since the 1920s and the Swiss Open. And then Crans-sur-Sierre has hosted it since 1939. And it became the European Masters in 1983. And it's been won by some brilliant names in the past, likes of Seve Ballesteros, Ian Woosnam, Nick Faldo, Colin Montgomery, Jose Maria Alafarbo, Lee Westwood, all these titans of the European Tour down the years. And more recently, likes of Danny Willett and Matt Fitzpatrick, Alex Noren. It's a short, sort of fiddly track. So Fitzpatrick is the real kind of indicator of what you want here. Someone that finds fairways and precise players tend to go well.
Absolutely. I know that a lot of people are put off by the European Tour with the relatively weak fields, and they have been weak in recent weeks. But from now, for the next month or so, it starts to really pick up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think this is kind of the start. We've obviously missing a few big names who are still playing on the PGA Tour or were playing last week. But we've got a great field this week. It's the usual characters, but they're all kind of there this week. We've got, you know, we've got Rasmus Højgaard, we've got Bernd Wiesberger. These guys who have been playing sporadically on the European Tour over the last few months, but they're all in attendance to play the European Masters this week. So more to come next week, the Italian Open, and then we've got Wentworth after that.
Yeah, can't wait for Wentworth. Let me give you a quick run through the market before we get into Joe's tips. As always, please shop around for the best prices and also the best place terms. They can vary between bookmaker to bookmaker. Bernd Wiesberger, your favourite this week, 25-1. Justin Harding, 28-1. Andy Sullivan, 30-1. Thomas Dietrich, 33-1. Recent winner Callum Hill, 33-1. Richard Bland, 33-1. Sam Horsfield, 33-1. Bigger the rest. Joe, how many tips this week?
I've got six for the European Masters this week.
Six. Who is your headline selection?
So my headline selection this week, and what we should mention is I'm taking a bit of course form from another course, which is 6,000 miles away from Kansas City. And that's Karen Country Club in Kenya, home of the Kenya Open. We saw two events there earlier this year, the Open and the Savannah Classic. My best bet is Guido Migliozzi, who won the 2019 Kenya Open. Now, why am I putting so much faith in this form? Because the Kenya Open is played on a tight three-lined course and it's at altitude, and that's exactly what we're going to get this week. Sebastian Soderberg won this event 2 years ago, the last time it was played. They obviously didn't play last year due to COVID. He won the 2019 European Masters and he claimed his first Challenge Tour win at the Kenya Open in 2016. So there's an obvious link between these two courses. Migliozzi, he's not the straightest off the tee. I have mentioned you need straight hitters here, but he'll be able to club down. He'll be able to take fairway woods, take irons, and that will serve him well this week. That's exactly what he did in Kenya. That sort of strategy is what he needs to do well. He's played Kransersia once before in 2019. Kran's debut finished 33rd. He opened with a 65, two so-so rounds on Friday and Saturday. Saw him like sort of shuffle back into the pack. They closed with a 66. He's clearly got what it takes to contend here. He's beaten in a playoff at the British Masters earlier this year by Richard Bland. And then he was runner-up to Bernd Wiesberger in Denmark and fourth at the US Open, a real standout piece of form amongst this field. I really think that he's a great bet this week.
So Migliozzi, the headline selection for Joe Champion this week. Joe, a solid selection there. Who's up next?
So the next one is another Kenya winner. It's Justin Harding, who's a real consistent, accurate operator who won that Kenya Open and then went well again a week later in the Savannah Classic. He makes his Kransersia debut this week, but of a lot of the market leaders, with the exception of Wiesberger, who's played it seven times and has, I think, got one top 10 finish from seven visits, most of them haven't teed up at Kransersia, or they've played it once or twice. So that's not a massive worry for me, that lack of course experience. Harding is that sort of consistent operator that wherever he goes, he looks like he can contend. European Tour form figures have fit in the last six starts, read 5, 23rd, missed cut, 19th, 2nd and 7th. And this is the sort of test where Harding should go well. He's a great short game specialist as well, excellent around the greens and on the greens. And they're small greens here. If you miss them, then I'm expecting Harding to get up and down more than most.
And Joe, the lovely thing about this week's European Masters is even if you're looking towards the top of the market, you're still getting really big prices, aren't you?
You are, yeah. If we've got 25-1 the field, then you know, I'd say take your pick. I've obviously got two at sort of around the 30-40-1 mark, and then a few at bigger prices who are coming up. So, yeah, definitely shop around as well for value this week.
Who's your third pick, Joe?
So I'm putting a bit of faith in a former winner of this, who was sent off at 22-1 for this event 2 years ago. His form is not that good, and that's why we're getting him at 45-1 this week. But that's Danny Willett. He was 22-1. 2 years ago, and that was despite the presence of Rory McIlroy, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, Matt Wallace, Sergio Garcia. None of them are playing this week, and we're still getting a much bigger price about Willett. And that is because his form hasn't been that good. He did miss the cut in the Czech Masters last week. He had Kransersia form figures from a period 2012 to 2016. His Krans figures read 2, 26, 5th, winner, and 12th. And he's shown signs of life at times this year. He's 11th for the British Masters when he was hosting the event. 26th at the Memorial in the US, which is obviously a really high-class tournament. And he was 33rd at the Open, again, amongst high-class competitors. That just shows that Willett is comfortable on courses that suit. He loves links golf. He obviously went well at the Open. And I feel like a return to Kransersia should suit him a lot better than the Czech Masters did last week. So I expect him to go well. And then I've got three more treble figure odds for you.
Yeah, spin through them all at once if you want, Joe.
Yeah, will do. So the first one is Ashley Chesters, who's officially the straightest driver on the European Tour this season. He just looks an obvious pick for this event. He was 18th for the Kazoo Open, 15th for the World Invitational, 13th for the Kazoo Classic, and was also 14th in Kenya in March. He just looks like he'll find these fairways constantly and hit and pepper the greens, and that should be enough to see him go well. The next one went well last week at the Czech Masters, and that's Paul Peterson, who's another straight hitter. He was fourth last week at the Czech Masters, the course where he'd won before, and 19th on a fiddly track in Northern Ireland a couple of starts before that. He ranked third in strokes gained approach at the Czech Masters, and I think this is the sort of test that should suit. And the last one, who I'm quite keen on at a big price, is Shubhankar Sharma. The Indian who looked like he could be a potential star a few years ago, and he won the Joburg Open and Malaysia in quick succession. He lost his way after that, but recent signs have been really promising for Sharma. 16th for the Hero, 9th for the Kazoo Classic last time, and his all-around game looks in much better shape than it has for a while. And the standout piece of form in Sharma's career to date, really, is the ninth-placed finish he had at the WGC Mexico Championship in 2018. That's another tree-line track in Golf Club de Chapultepec, and it's played at altitude as well, so could be a good sort of correlating course, that one.
Yeah, so Joe, you've got your three triple figure price selections there. When you're going into your staking plan for the week, are you looking for the bigger prices but less place terms on these kind of selections, or the opposite? How do you play it?
So I'm sort of quite happy to sort of play every sort of selection by ear, really. If you've got a much, much bigger price and a kind of one or two place deviation, then I'd quite happily take the bigger price over the extra places. Everyone's different, though. It does depend on the event as well. Obviously, if we're talking about majors, we're getting big place terms, sort of up to 11 places. It's personal preference, really. I would prefer to take sort of a medium range where I may sacrifice one or two places for a bigger price, but I'm less likely to do that if you've got, say, six places instead of 12.
Absolutely, yeah. It can be a minefield some weeks, can't it, with the different prices and place terms. So that's the European Masters. Joe, we'll run through the selections all once again at the end. Let's move on to the PGA Tour, and it's the BMW Championship this week. Once again, a really strong field, so really exciting. Once again, run us through the course. What can we expect?
So we're at a new track this week, and that's Caves Valley Golf Club. Hosting for the first time, we're in Baltimore, or near Baltimore this week. It's a Tom Fazio designed track, 7,226 yards, par 71. These Fazio tracks, Quail Hollow is one of them, where they host the Wells Fargo, Shadow Creek, which hosted the CJ Cup last season, and PGA National, which is the course where the Honda Classic is staged. These are sort of tracks that have always favoured long drivers, and I expect that's what we're going to want to look for this week.
Okay, now we've got a short price favourite here in John Rahm, who has been playing fantastically. 13-2 about John Rahm. Olympic champion Xander Schauffele, 16-1. Dustin Johnson, 20s. Morikawa, 20s. Spieth, Thomas, both joined him on 20s. Cameron Smith, who went well last week, 22-1. Cantlay, 25-1. Bigger the rest. You had six selections in the European Masters, Joe. How many for the BMW Championship?
I've got four this week, Jack.
Four, and your headline selection is?
My headline selection is Xander Schauffele this week. We should touch on John Rahm first of all, though, because he is comfortably the market leader. We've obviously got 70 runners this week, gone down from 125 this week, which is why Rahm shortened up quite a bit. I'm happy to leave him, but I think if you want, it wouldn't be a disastrous plan to have a sort of saver on him to cover your other selections, because he looked brilliant for most of last week, just faltered late on, and it really would not surprise me if he went and bounced back in an event that he did, of course, win last year.
Yeah, the consistency with Rahm has been astonishing as well, hasn't it? It's been sustained, just really good golf.
Yeah, wonderful golfer. But I'm hoping that Xander Schauffele can beat him this week. And he's, as you mentioned, the Olympic champion, and he fully deserves to be second in the betting, in my opinion. Like Tony Finau, he's not quite as long a run, but he snapped a long winless run in Tokyo, and I think he can kick on from where he is now. Understandably, he finished down the field a week after his Olympic heroics at the WGC St. Jude Invitational. But he was solid last week. He was 16th at the Northern Trust, carding a second round 62. And I mentioned this is a strong driver's track. Xander Schauffele is one of the longest off the tee this season, 22nd in driving distance, obviously a bit higher up in that grade in this field as well, and ultra consistent as well. And he's excellent form on these Tom Fazio designed courses. He was runner up to Jason Kokrak at Shadow Creek last year on a Fazio layout, and his Olympic gold medal came on a Fazio redesign at Kazumi Gazeki Golf Club. So it's another long driver's track that should suit him very well that he's going to encounter this week. And a bit like Rahm, he doesn't really have any major weaknesses, Schauffele. That's what I really love about him. You look at even some of the top guys and you can pick holes in them here and there. You look at likes of Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa. haven't putted well at times this season. Schauffele's not really in that bracket. He does everything well to a degree. He's not quite got Rahm's prodigious driving, nor has he got quite the best putting on the tour, but he's very much in the top echelon for a lot of these sort of key statistics. And I just think he's rock solid, and I think he should go really well this week.
And I think the good thing with Schauffele, Joe, and I know Bruce hates this term, but he did get banded about with this kind of bottle job mentality. He constantly got in touch and then never quite got it done. So the fact he went on to win Olympic gold, I think, is massive for him, isn't it? Schauffele, your headline selection. Who's up next?
So my next section is Hideki Matsuyama, who just simply looks overpriced at 40-1, I think. Masters champion could only finish 43rd last week, but he ranked 4th in strokes gained off the tee. His approach play was ragged, and that's not what we expect from Matsuyama. But if he can tighten that up, then I think he could go really well at the course that should suit. He was quiet after winning at the Masters, but he finished 4th at the Olympics. Obviously, he had a lot of pressure on him there. And that was, as I mentioned, on a Fazio redesign. And he followed up with a runners-up finish the following week at the FedEx St. Jude. Very impressive to fly over from Tokyo, having been under all that pressure. Go to America and then contend again. He shot a final round 63. He's probably playing as well as he has for a long time. Missed the cut of the Wyndham Championship. Not a massive issue for me that. It's not a course that's a perfect fit for him. He shot 2 rounds of 69, but he just struggled a bit with the putter. He will do that from time to time, but that's factors into his price here. If Hideki Matsuyama was a better putter, he'd be 20-1 every week. 5th in the US PGA Championship in 2017 at Quail Hollow, another Tom Fazio course. He was 7th at Conway Farms in this event in 2015. Same course architect there as well. He's also enjoyed back-to-back third-place finishes in the BMW in the last 2 years. He obviously likes playing in this event wherever it's staged, and I think he should go well.
Yeah, big price about Matsuyama this week, 40-1. For his standards, that's very big indeed. Who's third on the list, Joe?
So I've got a couple more bigger prices. The first one I've already mentioned is Jason Kokrak, the Shadow Creek winner. Disappointed last week. I tipped him in the RFO last week, but I'm willing to give him another chance. He's a slightly bigger price in a field that, while obviously still strong, has been whittled down from 125 to 70. So he's still a decent price at around sort of 70, 75 to 1. He won the, in addition to the Shadow Creek win, he won the Charles Schwab Challenge this season. And his BMW Championship form figures are 17, 19, 19 and 6. He's played it 4 times in the last 5 years. Looks well placed to make the Tour Championship. He's 17th in the standings. And I think he can go well and confirm his place at Eastlake with a decent effort this week. He looks a very big each-way price, Jason Kokrak.
Absolutely, Jason Kokrak, third on the list. Who's the fourth and final?
And the last one, we're getting a big price about this guy, I think, because it is such an elite field and he can be quite in and out. It's Keith Mitchell, who finished really well last week. He birdied his last 3 holes of the Northern Trust to move from outside to inside the bubble. He's now 63rd on the FedEx Cup standings, and he's got a lot to do if he wants to make it into the top 30. I think, unless he wins, that will probably prove beyond him. I didn't have the time to crunch the numbers in between the tournaments, but a big finish is not a surprise for Mitchell, who can go on these runs of birdies. He ranks 11th in strokes gained off the tee this season, so he's a strong driver. And he was also 5th at the 3M Open 3 starts ago. He's playing really well. I'm surprised that he's quite as big a price as he is, actually. And we talk about the course architect, these Fazio courses. Pushed Rory McIlroy a long way at the Wells Fargo Championship in May. You may remember he was sort of locked with McIlroy going into the back nine and ended up finishing third. A good performance. He didn't really go away that week. McIlroy went and took it from him. And then he won his only PGA Tour title in 2019 at the Honda Classic. PGA National, another Fazio course. I'm very surprised he's that big.
So, yeah, lots of chunky prices there, Joe. So 10 selections between the two tournaments, 6 in the European Masters. Give us a quick run through them again.
Right, so European Masters, I tipped Guido Migliozzi, Justin Harding, Danny Willett, Ashley Chesters, Paul Peterson and Shubhanka Sharma. And in the BMW Championship, Xander Schauffele, Hideki Matsuyama, Keith Mitchell and Jason Kokrak.
There we go. 2 excellent tournaments to look forward to this week. As always, if you don't see Joe on the sweet spot in the coming weeks, you know where to look. In the RFO, you can pick it up in all good news agents, and also if you've got a members club subscription on the Racing Post website as well. Well worth a read each and every week. Bruce and Steve will be back next week, where they're previewing the Italian Open and the Tour Championship. For myself, Jack Reeve, and Joe Champion, thank you so much for watching The Sweet Spot this week. Stay safe, remember to bet within your means, and enjoy the golf. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.